Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we are recognizing a feast or a festival called the Presentation of Our Lord. And it's based on this text where Jesus is brought up to the temple and dedicated to God as holy, presented in the temple as one who is going to be a part of God's work. Now, this was, in fact, a common practice. Jesus was likely, almost certainly, not the only child dedicated that day. So why would we celebrate this particular presentation, given the fact that this is a common thing for first century Jewish children? Well, there's lots of reasons. One, we think he's the Messiah, so kind of a big deal, right? Two, I think it's because presentation matters. Presentation matters. Now, this is not presentation matters, so you should always dress up when you come to church. Don't. That's not that kind of presentation. It's not what I'm looking for. Wear your jeans, Nikki, or not jeans, whatever you're going to wear. Just wear it. It's not the kind of presentation matters where you're expected to speak with a certain dialect or use a certain language. I'm not talking about that kind of presentation matters. Not even saying that you have a particular way you need to set up the room or a particular kind of music we have to have or a particular preacher that needs to be here. That's not the kind of presentation that we see mattering in this text. I think where we see presentation really mattering is with one particular character here in the story. And we hear almost nothing from her mouth. Instead, we simply hear there was also a prophet, Anna. What do we know about Anna from the story, as the story presents her? Anna is a daughter of Penuel. Anna is a wife of somebody. And they were married for a few years, for 7 years. Before then, she spent most of her life as a widow. She is an elder, one who is now aged and constantly in the courts of God praying. She is a prayer. She is a worshiper. She is fasting. I would say she's a faster, but I have no idea how fast she ran, so that doesn't seem entirely appropriate. The eye roll was very much appreciated. I thank you for that one. This is what we know about Anna, and of course we know that the first thing that is said about her is she is also a prophet. Now, if you have read lots of scripture, or if you have participated in this tradition for a while, you know that it's not super common to have women referred to as prophets. So this should be a sign for us. This is a big deal. We do find female prophets in scripture, but it doesn't mean that they were common or even often appreciated. But here she is, present and accounted for at the presentation of our Lord. What does it mean that Anna is present at the presentation? I think it's not just about presentation, but rather about representation. Because when Jesus is presented, we don't know it yet if we're in that minute, but now we know 2,000 years later that Jesus is representing all of humanity before God. That Anna now represents the embrace of Jesus by outsiders, by women who are treated as property in this culture, by widows who are among the most vulnerable in this culture. That she represents us even as Jesus also represents us. At the presentation of Jesus, we find the representation of the most vulnerable in Anna, and the representation of all humanity in Jesus. And here's the fascinating thing. Jesus presented to the work of God with that whole ministry ahead of him. And in that moment, at 40 days old, he is entirely unable to do that work. How is an infant going to forgive sins? How is an infant going to speak justice? Part of the presentation, of the representation that we find in Jesus, that we find in Anna's acceptance of Jesus, is that when Jesus is presented for the work that is before him, he's not ready yet. He's powerless. He's meek. He is dependent, literally, in Mary's arms. And yet he is embraced by Simeon and by Anna. Representation here feels all too familiar to me, to Mariah's story. Being called to the work of God and feeling entirely incapable of doing what I have been presented to do. Utterly unable to keep the promise, at least in the moment, at least on my own. And I think that's why I'm so compelled by Anna's story and why she is so likely to embrace Jesus so early. Because she, too, has been unable to break the cycles of patriarchy and of economic oppression that have kept her so desperately outside. She has waded into her mid-80s for her Savior. She knows what it's like to feel powerless, and so it's in one who is so similar to her, so similarly powerless before God, that she finds liberation, that she finds redemption. That the Redeemer begins just like us, unable to do what we have been called to do. So yes, presentation matters in the presentation of the Lord because representation matters. We find in this an early sign of the theology of the cross, which, if you don't know, is simply this, that the divine power of the universe is not held in thrones, not held in oval offices, not held in capital cities, not held in treasuries and armies and crowns, but rather in the places that we would call weak, in the people that we would call meek. That as Christ is represented at the temple, we are represented in Christ, even in the reality that we too are powerless to do what God has called us to do in the moment. But we do this as a festival in a moment, knowing that Jesus will grow in wisdom and understanding. And so too, dear friends, Jesus calls us to grow in wisdom and understanding, that we might become what we are presented to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.